It's back to school in Europe with plenty to fret about, both near and far. Now, Europe's got a new worry. France. After last year's shock dissolution of parliament that begat a hung parliament, the clock ticking for a prime minister who's now got 6 days to convince resolute opposition parties that he was right to preempt a raucous showdown over a painful austerity budget and call a vote of confidence scheduled for next Monday. Like with Emmanuel Macron a year ago, François Bayrou was under no obligation to put his neck on the line, but he did. And if all goes to script next Monday, the centrist Bayrou, a mainstay of French politics for decades, will have to pack and make way for Macron's fifth prime minister since his re-election in 2022. Why this seemingly self-inflicted crisis? What are the president's options? The far left and far right want the term-limited Macron to resign. Is it about the man or the system? Next week's vote, only the start of it. Trade unions have latched on to a yellow vest-style day of action called for September the 10th. Where will that lead? Maybe nowhere, but it's anyone's guess in a nation where stereotypes would have citizens preferring revolution to reform. France fared better than most during COVID, but never did shut the tap on stimulus spending. Rising borrowing costs mean that whatever politicians decide next, it is now, for the markets, time to pay the piper. Today in the France 24 debate, should Europe worry about France? And with us, French member of Parliament, Claire Lejeune from LFI, the left-wing France Unbound
Hello.
Party.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for being with us. Thanks as well to Denis Barranger, professor of public law at the University Panthéon Assas. Good to see you.
Hello, thank you.
And you're working on a book on?
On the dissolution, on the first dissolution of 2024.
Of 2024.
The first one.
with us as well, Damien Lecomte, a political science researcher at Paris Panthéon Sorbonne University. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And columnist and strategist Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, senior advisor at communications agency NOCOM. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Okay. Reminder, by the way, you can always listen. That's right. Listen to the France 24 debate wherever podcasts are streamed. Overheard on French radio this morning, is this a Liz Truss moment? Her 45-day tenure as UK Prime Minister, precipitated by an unexpected massive tax cut that she announced, sent the British pound tumbling, and she was soon out. It's an expression here, too, what with French borrowing costs hitting a 14-year high. Analysts insist it's not about France's massive public deficit, but it's about the political instability, rising debt. Those pundits saying that for now, it's not yet a Liz Truss moment, Philippe Moreau-Chevrolet, but is it close to that? Because Liz Truss didn't have to announce this big tax cut, and it backfired miserably, and she was out of a job.
That's pretty much the same thing. François Bayrou didn't have to, you know, decide that on September 8th there would be a vote in the parliament against him. That's most probably what will happen. He didn't have to do that.
But why did he do it?
that's a question we all ask ourselves. Why did he do it? There are three main hypotheses. The first one is he wants to get out of this situation, you know, with a high profile, with the ability of saying, I told you so. You know, preserving his own image is one possibility. That's the first one. The second possibility is that he wants to be a candidate for 2027 for the next presidential election. So he will be out, but he will have been the one fighting against the budget spending. He will be the candidate for the Conservatives. It could be a second hypothesis. And the third one is that he expects maybe to win, and he sees the possibility that no one except him sees, including MPs in his own rank and files.
Have the political fault lines changed in any kind of way since that announcement?
No, I wouldn't say they have. I mean, very early we said we would not vote for confidence, and fairly quickly afterwards most opposition parties said more or less the same thing. But maybe it's important to remind that actually for a government that's in power, the normal thing to do is to ask for the confidence. And the anomaly is that governments have been minority governments and have not asked for the confidence from parliament. So in a way, it was the right thing to do. And in a way, also, he knew that he was going to face a major opposition when wanting to pass through this budget, and he probably would have fallen anyway with a vote of no confidence a bit further down the line. So I'd say asking the parliament, do you support me or do you not support me, is the normal thing to do in a normal democracy. But I think this brings us back to the conversation about, is it just what they are trying to portray as a fiscal crisis, or are we in a system crisis, a democratic crisis, a political crisis, which brings us back to the position of Macron and the fact that there's a disconnect between the policies he wants to impose and what the majority of French people want nowadays.
You say the normal thing to do. Were you nonetheless surprised?
I don't think anyone expected it from him. But I think he knew that he wouldn't be staying for long. So it's his way maybe of trying to save some kind of image and to go down in history as a person who would have said the truth to the French people. That's what he's saying. But what's important to say is that what he's portraying as the truth is very honestly a bunch of sometimes lies about the level of the debt, comparing French situation to the Greek situation. There's no comparison possible between the Greek and the French situation, using exaggerations that have no legitimacy, trying to feed into fears and to get people on board by kind of saying, right, the IMF is going to come down tomorrow and France is going to be in chaos. That's not reality. Mm. And it's not very honest to portray it in this way, because it cuts the possibility of an honest democratic debate. And I think French people are expecting that from us more than anything else.
All right. The France, part of the Eurozone, they have a 3% of the debt should not be more than 3% of the size of GDP. In France, it's double that. Yet in the How to Make Friends and Influence People department, in trying to make his pitch to the French people, the 74-year-old prime minister appeared to alienate both old and young when he called for budgetary belt tightening in the name of the younger generation.
They're the victims. They're the ones that will have to pay the debt for their entire lives, and we've convinced them that we needed to increase it more. Isn't that great? All this for the comfort of certain political parties, and for the comfort of boomers, as they're called, who from this vantage point feel that everything is just fine.
There's been a lot of chatter about les boomers, Damien Leconte, as the French call them, since that vote. By the way, I'm officially under the limit by 1 year, so I'm not a boomer, just so you know.
Damien Leconte is here.
Sorry, excuse me. I said Damien Leconte. I meant Denis Barranger. What did you make of that statement? And again, what does that tell you about François Bayrou in this moment?
Well, to come back to the discussion about Liz Truss, Truss was confident she would stay on. And really, she was toppled by the market backlash because of her poor policy decisions. Bayrou is very different. He's been a prime minister in name only. He hasn't really governed. He hasn't had a coalition. His cabinet minister didn't even know he would ask for the confident vote next week. What did he do as a prime minister? What is actually his program? We don't really know, and we still don't. So I guess Philippe has laid out the reasons why, the scenarios why he has resigned. We don't know, because we are not in his own brain, but probably he did that because of the budget horizon. And he wants to appear as the reasonable man, the adult in the room. It's not for me to tell. I'm not an economist, but it seems many people would think that his program to fight the deficit is quite imbalanced. We have like 100 million structural deficit. 83 million are caused by the policy of Macron, politique de l'offre. Right. There was an obvious thing to do if you wanted a balanced budget. You would take money from business and take money from middle class.
Because he both cut taxes and at the same time
I'm not an economist, I'm not doing party politics, but he's really hit the middle class households. How will it go for him politically? Time will tell.
Denis Berger, you said he didn't build a coalition. Could he have? Could he have tried? Or is France... people say, oh, no, we don't do coalitions
the golden
in France.
Rule, the golden rule of a parliamentary government, like in the UK, is that you start by building a majority and then you become the obvious prime minister. Mr. Macron has done the reverse. He's done that in reverse gear. He wanted to choose someone from his own team, like Monsieur Le Cornu, that sort of people who had no majority at all. And then Beirut told him, if you don't take me, I'm going to leave you, and then you'll be left in the wild without a majority at all. But Mr. Beirut has never even tried to have a majority in parliament. So now he's leaving because he's never had a majority. And to be honest...
why didn't he try?
That's a good question. I think most prime ministers see themselves now as would-be presidents. He's been a would-be president all the time, like Mr. Barnier. And they see themselves as... predecessors, as their predecessors like Michel Debré, people from the Fifth Republic who are supported by a president. They didn't need a majority because the president had a majority. They behave like that, and in their brain, in their own mind, they behave as people from the early days, the happy days of the Fifth Republic. These days are gone forever. The Fifth Republic used to be robust, was very stable because there was fait majoritaire. The president had a majority in parliament, and the prime minister was only... the guy working for
a glorified chief of staff.
No, absolutely, the glorified chief of staff. Those days are gone unburied, and Mr. Berry is facing that.
Damien Lecomte, when you saw this, again, the original sin that what Denis' book is about is this dissolution of parliament after a poor showing in the European elections in May of last year. Could there have been coalition building? It was something that was promised, in fact.
Yeah, I do think the original sin of this parliamentary term is the refusal of President Emmanuel Macron to acknowledge the victory of the Republican Front and the victory of a new popular front, the left-wing coalition that was the first political coalition inside the Republican Front. So
you say a victory, but it was, if you result. Tally up all of the left, from the reformists to the hardliners, you get more than a third, and that's not a majority.
But the result of a snap election was a victory of the Republican Front against the far right, because between the two rounds, the left wings and the centrists were rallying against the candidate in each district against the far right candidate, and it is also true that the left-wing alliance was the first political force inside this Republican Front. So the most parliamentary logic solution was for the president to appoint a left-wing government that would have to reach compromises and to negotiate within parliament to reach compromises with the centrist coalition. So it is the original sin of this legislative term that Emmanuel Macron did not appoint Lucie Castet, the left-wing candidate for prime minister. And after that, Michel Barnier tried to lead a government that was dependent on the far right, which was kind of a betrayal of the Republican Front in the first place. And it is true.
Dependent on the far right to what extent?
Sorry?
Dependent on the far right to what
extent? Because he did not try to reach compromises with the left wing, so it was so the only solution for him was to rely on the abstention of the far right. And so François Bayrou, which is interesting, is that François Bayrou has always prided himself as a centrist, as a unifier, someone who wants to work across the aisles, across the political divisions. But it is true that he has not shown a real willingness to reach compromises with the left wing. He did discuss with some parties of the left, and the Greens, the Communists, and the Socialists accepted to discuss with him. But in the end, only the Socialists decided that they had obtained enough concessions to not vote against him for the 2025 budget. But even them, they had really a hard time to obtain any major concessions, and François Bayrou did not respect most of them. So he had not shown a real ability to reach compromises inside the Republican Front.
All right. One by one, the last 48 hours, politicians have been filing into the prime minister's office in the left bank of Paris to see the perhaps outgoing prime minister. The far right's Marine Le Pen, whose national rally has the most seats in parliament, calling the visit a courtesy call, saying the real issue is not Bayrou, it's the man at the top.
The truth is that Emmanuel Macron's brand of politics is toxic. It is applied by a certain number of ministers, whether they're from the right, the left, or the centre. For us, it matters little. It isn't personal. We don't hold grudges against anyone. We've noticed that none of the prime ministers have been brave enough to cut ties with Macronism.
She talks about Macronism in that clip. The far right, like the far left, like your party, is calling for the president to resign, although she seemed to be sort of tempering that. She didn't say that in that particular outing.
Yes, so it seems to me that the Rassemblement National are calling more for a new dissolution. That's their primary goal. And indeed, Bayrou's government was actually leaning to their types of policies and also feeding into the racism that the National Front, Rassemblement National, actually harbours. So the opposition between Macronism and far-right policies is actually much more blurred than it was when Macronism first started. And this is where we, Diagnosis, to say the heart of the crisis is indeed not at in the National Assembly, but at the Élysée. It's Emmanuel Macron, because he's in a denial of the disconnect there is between his brand of policies and what the French have been consistently voting at the European elections and then at the legislative elections soon after that. So if we don't tackle that issue, then we can name another prime minister. He'll probably fall after the next budget and we'll go from crisis to crisis. If we don't look at the heart of this crisis, which is a political crisis, linked to the concentrated forms of power that are characteristic from the Fifth Republic. So if we don't look this in the eye, then we're going to play into maybe what Macron is expecting, maybe another dissolution with the far right coming to power, which is something that we managed to prevent.
But the French like strong leaders, don't they? The leader of your party once said, I'm the state, l'état c'est moi.
Yeah, and we also have Macron who said that the French people were actually nostalgic of the times that we had kings. He said this.
Yeah, I don't
think that's necessarily a sociological, political fact. I think now there's a strong movement for more power that would be placed in the people's hand and more regular.
In the people's hand, does that mean parliament?
Well, we had the yellow vests. They were calling for the RIC, the Référendum d'Initiative Citoyenne, who would actually give back power, give back the voice to the people more regularly.
So more referendums.
Yeah, and now we have.
But that bypasses parliament as well. You're a member of parliament.
Exactly. Parliament is important, but the people's voice is important as well. And what we've been seeing also is that the parliament's voice has been completely ignored by the minority governments that have been in place. Last year, we did our job as MPs. We were building a budget, voting the amendments, and then Barnier used Article 49.3 and just put everything in the bin and just put back what they wanted to do.
Turn the budget battle into a vote of confidence.
Yeah, so in this type of situation, yes, we've got to look at it and see that we've got a deep democratic crisis and that the only way out of this, I think, is a regime change and going towards something like a Sixth Republic.
With more executive power or less?
Less executive power. You can't do much more than more executive power than what we've got currently, and especially not in the way that Macron is using the Constitution.
To think that until recently, Germany seemed more unstable politically than France. They have a new chancellor, Friedrich Merz, who brought his government to the French Riviera last Friday for one of those joint cabinet meetings the two nations regularly stage to remind us that old enemies can then become best of friends working in tandem. And after cool relations with Merz's predecessor, Olaf Scholz, France's president promising a long life for this new buddy act as he dismissed calls to resign.
I believe in democracy. Democracy consists of people voting for a given mandate. The mandate which has been given to me by the French people and by no one else is a mandate that will be carried out through the end of its term. in accordance with the commitment I made to the French people, even with all due respect to those who have been defeated several times in the same elections.
It's interesting, Philippe Morchevolet, at a time when Donald Trump is stating, I'm the president of the United States, I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
What do you make of that statement? Here he's saying that this is democracy and that he was elected and he's allowed to finish out his mandate. Your thoughts on the statement that you saw there?
The good thing is that what he puts forward is the frame, the institution, the rules. He's not putting himself ahead of the rules. As long as that lasts, we are in a better position and we are better suited than you Americans with Donald Trump. I'm sorry for you, François, but that's the truth for the months to come, at least. We never know. And the very important thing that Marine Le Pen did point out in what she said is that we need to cut ties with Emmanuel Macron collectively if we want to build something else politically. The candidates that won't cut ties with Emmanuel Macron will be doomed. Why? Because there are two populist forces. One on the left, I won't insult you by saying which it is, but there is a populist force on the left, and there is the Rassemblement National, Reconquête, a huge, 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 unbelievably strong far-right force on the right, which is also populist. And these two populist fronts are converging on some points, such as, you know, they are pro-Russian, they are anti-vaccines. Lots of things are converging between these two fronts. And the moderates, if they want to sustain themselves, they have to give the people something new. They have to propose something new. And they have to cut ties with Emmanuel Macron. And it's very difficult for Edouard Philippe, who was Macron's prime minister, to cut ties. It's very difficult for Gabriel Attal, who was also Macron's prime minister, to cut ties.
These are potential candidates for 2027.
All are potential candidates. And what François Bayrou...
Macron is term limited,
what
just to
François
remind
Bayrou is doing is making the situation even worse than was expected by saying to the people, this is the end of the times. We are dying. The country is going to, you know... to the gutters. I'm the only one who can save this country from itself, and with strict measures, so no positive perspective, no solutions, nothing but doom. That's what he proposes with. So it's usually rejected by 80%. 89% of the population do want to get rid of their prime minister. So the situation is dire, really. From the democratic perspective, it's dire.
All right, let's look at the makeup here. By the way, the last time a Franco-German cabinet meeting was staged, it was spring of 2024, just before Macron dissolved parliament, when he was just a few seats shy of a majority, only for those snap elections to backfire, as we said. At 74, Bayrou might be thinking about his legacy, the country, and here you see the fact that after that dissolution on July the 8th, we saw that Macron's coalition shrank as a result. So when you look at this pie chart, Denis Barranger, if you're going to try to build a coalition government, old style, how do you do it?
I don't know. Implicitly, I mean, the implicit reasoning in Macron's talk that we just heard is basically, I've been democratically elected at universal suffrage, so I should govern the country. There is nothing self-evident with this. The president of Portugal, the president of Austria, they're elected at universal suffrage. They don't govern the country. They leave that to a prime minister with a majority in parliament. So Macron's choice not to take Madame Castex could be understandable in the sense of Madame Castex. She did not have a majority, like you said, but he had to find someone who was able to reach across the aisle. So you could have, for instance, the Socle Commun, I don't know how to say that in English, but the people are governing right now.
Sort of the middle ground.
The middle ground, who are actually right. In
the part in yellow, if you will, the part in yellow and sky blue.
Exactly,
on
the yellow, the yellow guys on your chart. They could have reached across the aisle to the socialists, who are quite open to some understanding on some.
So they could have chipped away at that red part on our.
And even before the dissolution, it was very possible for Macron and his prime minister at the time to have an agreement with Les Républicains on not going to the dissolution. There was nothing necessary for the dissolution. He could have done that before the dissolution. Today is so blurred that actually I don't think anybody is going to come to the table and negotiate an agreement with anybody else. So Macron said he would not leave the Élysée Palace.
Yeah, because it's the end of 2025. The election's not till the spring of 2027.
Macron can perfectly stay on. He could be dismissed by a special vote in Parliament, but probably it's not going to happen. The second option is a new prime minister. It is probably going to be Groundhog Day again and again. It's going to be the same story. That person will not have majority in Parliament. So the end would be probably a second dissolution. And then it will be 2027. Mr. Macron will have to go because he cannot do a third mandate. And we will know, and to come back to your first question, people will have a new president, and we will be back to the normal, sort of normal Fifth Republic, probably with a strong executive. That would be, I think, that would be the scenario I would favor.
What does your crystal ball, Damien Leconte, tell you?
First of all, I think it is clear that the Fifth Republic cannot work as it used to when you have a political party system that is so divided and so so fragmented. And I'm not sure that we can go back to normal. I think that even with our majority electoral system, even a snap election and even a parliamentary election after a presidential one, you can still have a very divided parliament. So, once again, I think that the current legislative term can only work if you respect the logic of the 2024 election, that is the victory of the Republican Front, and you search for compromises inside the Republican Front, that is between the left wing and the centrist coalition. And the problem is that until now, President Macron has really been willing to protect his legacy at all costs, and he refuses absolutely that his policies, especially his fiscal policies in favor of the rich, to be withdrawn and to be. To make anything that could withdraw his legacy. So right now, Emmanuel Macron and the centrist coalition is really blocking any real compromises.
But even if the left comes to power, they still would not have a majority.
No, but they would have any government right now would have to walk across the aisles to find majority. That is why I think, given that the voters in the 2024 election voted against the far right, they voted for the either the left wing coalition or the centrist in the second round to prevent the National Rally to win a majority. Obviously, the leftists and the centrists have to work together to now that they have prevented the far right to come into power. So, if there is no government able to reach some majority, some compromises between the centrists and the at least part of the left wing, there is no possibility to have a functional majority right now.
Claire Jeune, under what circumstances would you see your party taking part in any kind of coalition government right now at this point?
Well, I think there's one element which is important to point out and to understand what's going to unfold in weeks to come. I really don't share the analysis that there would be two populist blocs that converge. Actually, the left-wing bloc has been the only bloc to consistently fight far-right ideas. And if you look at our votes this year in the National Assembly, we are the ones who vote the most against the far right. But you do have one bloc which is converging with the far right, which is the central bloc. And this is why we are in a crisis. It's because the Republican Front can't work as it did a few years ago, because we are facing a centrist bloc which is sliding to the far right when you look at the themes, when you look at the narrative, when you look at their votes. So today, the risk, indeed, if there's a dissolution, is that we won't have the capacity to form this Republican Front, because we've got the central bloc, which is already kind of governing hand in hand with the far right. When you look at the way the minister Retailleau used his power, he was leaning on the far right very clearly. And that's the result of Macronism. That's the result of the rise of the far
right. So if Emmanuel Macron tomorrow were to offer, as was asked by this coalition of left-wing parties, to name this high civil servant, Lucie Castet, as the prime minister. Would you be amenable to having ministers from your party in that government?
If we are able to have a government which defends the programme we were elected on, because we heard Emmanuel Macron says, I've been elected, I'm going to respect my mandate and go towards the 5 years. I've been elected, I have a mandate, it lasts 5 years, and he hasn't found a problem in dissolving the National Assembly and doing it potentially twice. So if we're in conditions where we can apply our programme, then there's a debate in the National Assembly, and that's where democracy happens. But we're not going to water down our ambitions and our programme beforehand, and that's our strategic difference with the Socialist Party right now. They want to go into government with a kind of watered-down version of the programme that we defended together only last year. So
does that mean the divorce is sealed with the Socialists?
Well, they seem to have sealed their divorce with the program the platform that we were meant to be defending together.
So I'll take that as a probably yes.
If we look at the current stage of affairs, then they seem to have moved away from the reasons we had to stay together in 2024.
It brings us to a point that was made earlier by Claire Lejeune. Is it about the system, or is it about the man, Emmanuel Macron? Who still is popular abroad, by the way. So it's sometimes difficult to explain. He's seen as a rampart against against the likes of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. So,
I think it's both, really. I think the Fifth Republic used to work in another public opinion. Another France, to be honest, in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Today, I'm not sure it works anymore, because today we have this tripartite opinion with people on the left, people...
So since the Second World War, you've had two constitutions. You had the Fourth Republic, where you had 25 governments in 12 years. The power was with Parliament.
Basically.
And there were lots of coalitions.
Yeah, and the president was weak. So basically...
Then you had De Gaulle come in and now strong executive.
Yeah, so it's worked for some time.
So what's next?
Yeah, well, I think I don't see a Sixth Republic being anything but... a false republic in revival, to be honest. So I am not able to tell you there is a new solution with a new constitution that will help the country go back to stability. I don't see that happening. I think Macron has also a responsibility, because he's behaved as a hyper-president, using all the powers that he could, and now that he's dissolved, he keeps thinking he can govern the country. He hasn't... I know how to say that, but he hasn't given up on governing the country, and he's tried again and again to still be a Fifth Republic De Gaulle-like president. So the future is very open, and I'm not sure constitutional law gets the solution to the problem France has at the moment.
All right, and this vote of confidence is on Monday. 2 days later, there's a call to mobilize, which started on Facebook and other social media. Kind of like the 2019 Yellow Vests movement. We don't know, Damien Lecomte, if what's going to happen on September 10th is going to be something or nothing. We do know trade unions have also called for strike actions a week later. But how much of an appetite do the French have right now for mobilizing in the streets and marching and striking?
The big question indeed is, if the movement that is going to happen on September 10 is going to be like the Yellow Vest, that is a very grassroots movement that was a big tent. You know, there was obviously a lot of left-wing and trade unionist elements, but also a lot of ordinary citizens that were not usually politicized, and also some elements from populist right-wing and far-right. And We have seen in 2023 during the pension reform debate that the one-off days of actions and strikes and protests were not very effective. But if you have a general strike that can last over time, obviously that can be a real game
changer. Does France feel like a general strike right now?
But I think right now there is a real possibility that a lot of people are exhausted and they cannot possibly afford such a huge movement. So. It is yet to see if it's going to be like the Yellow Vest again, or if is going to be a lot of occasional days of strike and protest, and that will be probably less effective to change the situation.
Has François Bayrou succeeded with this vote of confidence, scheduling it 2 days before this day of action on September the 10th? Has he succeeded in perhaps killing the momentum of...
It could deflect the movement, if there is a movement at all. We don't know yet. It appeared in social media on the far right, by very tiny groups on the far right. It's been spread through a lot of bots, partly Russian bots, and it's emerged in the public debate because some people on the left did take that movement and they did try to surf on this movement, as we say in France. They tried to, you know, capitalize on that movement and to play with it. But it's not possible to play really with it, since it's non-existent for the moment. It's only social media. We will see that on September 10th. My guess is it won't be a big thing, and maybe we will have trouble later on, because it started something nonetheless. And the truth is, the people in France are, as you say, exhausted. They are also very angry, and they have been angry for a lot of time. That's why we have so big populist movements nowadays. It's because of all this anger. And basically, if you want to sum it up, either you are the leader of the popular anger, you are able to do something with it politically, you can capitalize on the anger like Trump is doing, or other populist leaders are doing, or you will be at the bottom of the anger, you will be the target of this anger.
Well, actually, the reality of this movement is quite far from what you are describing.
I'm only stating the facts. I'm not
the whole of the summer, there have been citizens' assembly. There's been four in the department that I represent, Essen, with real life people, about 100 at each gathering, talking about their problems. And I think it's really harmful to kind of dismiss every popular movement at each time that people try to get together and voice
was born on
voice
the far right. That's only the truth, and that's the fact.
There were multiple. It was as all grassroots movement. The points of from which it starts are always very diverse. There were some that started on the far right. If you look at the political colour and the ideas that are in a majority in the movement right now, that is very active and that is very real, with real citizens behind. It's mostly left-wing ideas. Multiple ideas also about regaining power as a people, making their voice heard. And I really think it's harmful to dismiss this as some kind of Russian...
That's the problem with the populism. It's always at the very basis of populism. There are true people, true problems. The outcome of what has been done with all that is so dire, what we see in the US. The outcome of populism is so dire.
Politicians haven't done anything. People turned up in these citizens' assembly.
Why do you think the Russians are supporting this
movement? Because they are struggling to make ends meet, because they are fed up with the situation.
Yeah, the problems are real.
They have many reasons to be fed up. Yeah. So they have a legitimacy, and you can't just say, oh, it's the far right that are manipulating them, or it's Russia that is manipulating them. I think if we are serious about democracy, then we've got to trust people have a critical mind of their own, can vote and know that what they want to vote. And this comes back to the problem we have with Emmanuel Macron, who on the evening of the 7th of July just said, basically, oh, the French people didn't vote right, then I'll just ignore it and carry on with my policies. And this is what is harming democracy.
So we're running short on time, so I want to go around the room quickly, so short answers, please, to answer the question that's on the screen. Should Europe worry? Claire Lejeune, you go first.
I think Europe has, and European countries have many reasons to worry, given the situation with
Should they worry about France?
Trump. Oh, about France. I think that we're entering a phase of instability that could be resolved in one fairly simple way, is the resignation of Emmanuel Macron, the call to new presidential elections, which would set a new pathway, a new brand of policies in our country. And that's the only way forward I can see. We're going to stay in this conundrum for a long time if we don't go down this pathway, at least until 2027.
And if we believe what was in that clip, Damien, of Emmanuel Macron saying he's not resigning, then the answer for Claire Lejeune is clearly yes. So should Europe worry?
I think you should worry about France, but I think the real solution for France right now is to finally learn to trust parliamentary deliberation and to not rely on presidentialism.
Is that still possible?
I think it is possible. I mean, before the Fifth Republic, French relied a lot on parliamentary deliberation. It was not always effective, but it was a parliamentary system. So political culture can change, and I think France really needs to learn to be a real parliamentary system again.
Before I ask you the question, Denis Barranger, the outset of the conversation, Philippe Morin-Chevrolet gave us one of the possible reasons why François Bayrou decided to call this vote of confidence was he was thinking about his legacy. Well, the country, France, lionizes lovable losers that stand on principle. And there's been a lot the past week, references to he was a center-left prime minister in the 1950s, Pierre Mendès France, who chose to fall on his sword over his conciliatory stand on the War of Independence in Algeria and his call for a joint European defense. All this talk about, for young people, is somebody who's perhaps forgotten, Pierre Mendès, this Fourth Republic politician.
Everybody wants to be the new Mendès France in French politics. And,
they want to be
nobody
the,
manages to.
The guy whose government falls but everybody likes?
Yes, but the guy who takes the moral high ground.
Right.
And I would second what Damien just said. I can be short on my answer. What France needs now is a parliamentary government, and Europe would be happy with that.
All right, so Europe should worry unless parliamentary politics plays out.
The president needs to get that. The parliament has to do his job, and the president has to, you know, not resign but recede. And let other people decide what should be done. That would be the best thing to come. And Europe has has a lot of reasons to be worried about the French situation, because if we have a populist government, it will be pro-Russian, and it could change the face of Europe for a long period to come, and we don't wish for that.
I will have to leave it there, unfortunately. Much more to talk about. Philippe Morin-Chevrolet, I want to thank you. I want to thank as well Denis Barranger, Damien Lecomte, Claire Lejeune. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.